I want to begin the program this morning by apologizing for not wishing everyone a very enjoyable and safe Thanksgiving holiday. Now, I'm recording this actually before Thanksgiving Day, but you will not hear this, the Lord willing, until after Thanksgiving Day. So I wanted to certainly let you know that I am sorry that I've overlooked that last Lord's Day. But our study this morning will come from Hebrews chapter 6, as we're going to notice the word hope that was used several times by the inspired writer. In my view, that would be Paul, but I'm not dogmatic about that. But he is showing why the Hebrew Christians should not go back to Judaism, which has no hope. And so as we study this, we'll see that Paul is urging them to not leave the church and go back to a system that cannot save them. And so as we study Hebrews 6, verse 11 and 17 through 19, this will show us today why we in the Lord's church should endure. And we'll begin that study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to PFE, and we all know that stands for Preparing for Eternity, if we've been listening to this program very long, that is. So now we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street here in Martinsville as we study God's precious Word in our Bible classes. And then as we come together to worship God in the assembly, we're striving to do so in spirit and in truth. That would be with a proper attitude, but also in accordance to the New Testament pattern. I can assure you that you will be very much welcome. And we want to mention something else if you're interested in a Bible study. We're more than happy to set that up at your convenience. And we're always glad to answer Bible questions you may have. Your comments, positive or negative, are appreciated. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, let's get into our study this morning as we're going to be noting hope, the Christian's anchor of the soul. And we'll begin with verse 11 here in Hebrews chapter 6. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. Excuse me. So here we find the assurance of hope. Well, God cannot lie, and has promised and confirmed the promise with an oath. Notice verse 13. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men very barely swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. Notice that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. Well, we'll stop there, that first part of verse 18, and you can see God has promised and confirmed the promise with the oath, and that's the assurance that we have, the assurance of hope. Well, Titus 1:2 as well. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. That's right. Going back before the world began, here is the hope of eternal life, as God had the plan of redemption in His mind, and it began to unfold after Adam and Eve had sinned in the garden, Genesis 3:15. Now, let's look at Romans 8:24 and 25. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Are we waiting patiently? Well, we need to. Certainly patience is a Christian grace that we're to add to our faith. But let me mention this. Biblical hope is earnest desire with expectation. It's not just wishful thinking. I remember when I was a young fella, and we would get the Christmas catalog in the mail from Sears and Roebuck. And boy, you would go to the toy section. Well, I wish I can get this for Christmas or whatever. You know, you're looking at what we used to call the wish book. Well, that's not what we're talking about here, wishful thinking. No, biblical hope is earnest desire with expectation. Now, notice Acts 16:19. Here's an example where hope of earthly gain is taken away. And when her master saw this was the girl with the spirit of divination that was removed, and when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, notice that, the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers. Well, what are we going to do now? We were making good money from this young lady, and now that's gone. So that's not the kind of hope we're talking about. That's the anchor of the soul, the Christian's anchor. No, sir. Now notice Philippians 1:20 with me. Paul had an earnest desire with expectation. That's what we're talking about with biblical hope. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Paul, as we know, was ready to die. For me to die is gain, he said in Philippians chapter 1, did he not? But to live, of course, was to live for Christ. And we know that Paul had earnest expectation, that kind of biblical hope. But let's go on in our study, as we're knowing that the Christian hope is with assurance, as we just talked about, but also we're going to look at the refuge of hope here in verse 18. Notice, and we'll start with the first part that we just read a moment ago, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Remember in Joshua chapter 20, the cities of refuge were listed. You had three on each side of the Jordan River, Bezer and Hebron and Shechem and Golan, Ramoth, Gilead, and so forth. May have left one out, but six cities in total. And so if a person, say, accidentally killed someone, it was an accident, they could go into the city of refuge that was closest by and have safety from the kin of the person who of whom they had accidentally wounded or killed. The Avenger of Blood, it was called. And so this was a place of rest, a safety. That makes a great study, by the way. Joshua chapter 20 lists again those six cities. But the point is, today we can have safe rest in the arms of the Lord. Now, Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 34, let's notice together. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, and how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. That's right. If God be for us, it doesn't matter who's against us, does it? No, of course not. We can have safe rest where? In the arms of the Lord. Doesn't that give us great comfort? This is the refuge of hope we're talking about. But of course, we must remain faithful in the body of Christ to obtain the victory. Yes, Revelation 2:10, Jesus said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give unto thee the crown of life." Well, are we prepared to die for the cause of Christ if need be? Well, we should be, of course, because we're looking forward to what? Eternity with God. This is the refuge of hope. As we remain faithful, we can obtain the victory, no matter if our life is taken. Psalm 16:9, "Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope." That's right. Rest in hope. Psalm 119:114, "Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word." Yes, I hope in thy word, in the word of God, the written word, the holy scriptures. Are we doing that? Is our hope coming from the word of God? Well, it should be. But let us go on and notice now the steadfastness of hope, the anchor we're entitling this sermon, the anchor of the soul, that is hope, which is the Christian's anchor of the soul. Verse 19, let's notice together, "Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil." Well, we'll talk more about that in a moment. But first of all, let's mention how an anchor, a ship's anchor, is to keep the ship from drifting away. Of course, while I was in the Navy, and the only time I was on board ship, though, was with the Marines. I was attached to the 1st Marine Division, and then later the 3rd Marine Division. And as I had left Vietnam and went to Okinawa, and while there, we were preparing to go back into Vietnam if needed. So we were going to patrol the South China Sea. And we had the amphibs in the belly of the ship. And the Marines would, of course, hit the beach. And as a corpsman, and there were 15 of us, if I remember correctly, we would set up a medical battalion aid station to take care of the wounded. And so that period of time, we went into the harbor of Hong Kong. Boy, that was a beautiful harbor, let me tell you. So while the ship was anchored there in the harbor. One night I set up a tripod. I borrowed it from someone, and I had a good 35mm camera, and I thought, well, I'm going to see if I can get the reflection of the lights coming off the water. And so I, you know, set it up on the tripod, and you had the button you could push, and I held it for 13 seconds. I still remember the time. And I want to tell you, those, and at that time it was colored slides, they came out great. I was very pleased. There was no blurring. That was because the anchor held that ship that still in the water. Yes. And that's unmovable, isn't it? Well, it's like the term used to describe a good goal line stance by the defense on the football field. 1 Corinthians 15:58. My beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your work in the Lord is not in vain. We want to be unmovable. And this hope, you see, that we're talking about, it anchors our soul. The steadfastness of hope is what we're wanting to appreciate here. The Christian's hope anchors the soul. And those Christians who have preceded us in death will be reunited with all of us together if we remain faithful unto death of the Lord's return. We can look forward to that. That anchors our soul, that we know that that's coming as long as we remain faithful. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. See that term used for our faithful Christians who died in the Lord? Asleep. That ye sorrow not even as others, here it comes, which have no hope. They don't have it. But we as faithful Christians in the Lord's church have it. And it anchors our soul. Are we appreciating it? We certainly should. But let's go on in our study, and again we'll go back to verse 19 here in Hebrews chapter 6, and let's just go ahead and read the whole verse again. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, what we were just talking about, and which entereth into that within the veil of hope is what we're going to see now. You know, the tabernacle of the Old Testament, Moses was given a pattern how to build the tabernacle in accordance to God's pattern, not what he wanted to do or anybody else for that matter. So Moses did as God commanded him and built the tabernacle according to the pattern. And you had the holy place with a veil separating it from the most holy place. Remember that study in Exodus 40, 20 through 26? Yes, in the holy place you had the table of showbread, the lamp that continually burned, representing the Word of God, the pointing to the Lord's Supper, the table of showbread was, and the incense that burned continually as prayers of the saints would be offered. All this would be in the church. Of course, outside the holy place was the laver, where you had to wash, the priest did, in order to enter the holy place. In order to enter the church, we have to be baptized. What came before the laver? The altar that burnt the sacrifices, faith being represented, the sacrifice of Christ enabling us to be forgiven of our sins. That's what it's pointing to, isn't it? But again, back to the veil. The veil of heaven is the Christian's hope until it is obtained. Right now, it's, of course, expected with that earnest desire. As long as we're faithful, God has promised we have that assurance, we have rest of hope, and that steadfastness, the anchor of the soul, and thus the veil of hope is going to be realized and taken away, you see, in heaven. That's when it will be removed. Our hope will be realized. 1 Corinthians 13, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Well, of course, because faith and hope will be realized and no longer in heaven, but love will continue. God is love. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, Hebrews 11:1. So right now, that's the case, but in heaven, that won't be the case, will it? It's realized. Colossians 1:5, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. The hope which is laid up where? For you in heaven. Are we appreciative of the veil of hope? Yes. And that's what that veil was representing there in the tabernacle. And it rent top to bottom when Jesus was crucified. Now the way to heaven is opened. We know that's, of course, what we're seeing in this veil of hope. Now we have the ability to go to heaven only because of Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, submitting to His Father's will, becoming flesh in order to die, enduring all the trials and tribulations that we do, and dying not for His sins, but for ours. That's how we have hope. Without the sacrifice of Christ, there would be no hope. And if you're not a Christian, then you do not have true hope. Ephesians 2:12, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. What a terrible thought, having no hope and without God in the world. But how many people are in that situation today? But Christians have hope in their death and the resurrection to come. The wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous hath hope in his death, Proverbs 14:32, Romans 8:23, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. And it will be a spiritual body, changed from the natural body to a spiritual body, as we study 1 Corinthians 15, the great resurrection chapter. So, can we say, as the Apostle Paul did in Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ? We should be able to say that. As Christians, we are able to give others a reason for the hope in us. How? With meekness and fear. 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. That's right. We have a reason to give, not an opinion, not how I feel, a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Let's not forget that. Now, as we've studied this morning, hope, yes, the Christian's anchor of the soul, as we have the assurance of hope, God has promised, we have the refuge of hope, that great rest, safe in the arms of the Lord, safe rest. That's right. We have again the steadfastness of hope, that anchor of the soul, and the veil of hope once realized in heaven. What a great study this could be if we apply it to our lives. As we're in troubled times, And this will give us stability. It will give us the means of enduring whatever trials or tribulations are coming or already are happening, whatever suffering, whatever may come, even death. But we can be ready and look forward to being with God and all the faithful for eternity. Now, we stand ready to assist anyone in obeying the gospel, and you will be able to realize this biblical hope that we've studied this morning. Well, of course, we have to hear the truth. That's how our faith comes, Romans 10:17. Now we're ready to believe that Jesus is the Christ. He died for our sins, making it all possible. John 8:24, except that ye believe that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. We don't want to die in our sins. No one should want that. Well, once we believe Jesus is the Christ, we're motivated to repent, making a change of wills and do what God would have us to do. Stop doing what we want to do and leaving God out, but changing our mind, changing our will. Luke 13:3-5, I tell you nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Now, having repented of our sins, we're ready to make the good confession unto salvation. As you can see, the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8, that's what he did before he was baptized. You know, he was studying with Philip, Isaiah 53, and Philip taught him Jesus, taught him about Jesus. So he had to teach about baptism for the eunuch to say, see, here's water. What doth hinder me from being baptized? Well, of course, Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's the good confession. And that's what we must make unto salvation, Romans 10:9-10. Now notice, and he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. In other words, he was immersed. And when they were come up out of the water, notice how this is worded. The Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. He was added to the body of Christ. He wasn't joining any church, was he? No, but he was added to the body of Christ by the Lord himself, Acts 2:47. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. How many churches are there? The Lord is only going to add to the church he died for. It's his body, and it's purchased with his blood, and it carries his name. Thus, the church of Christ. Now, we need to appreciate what it took for Jesus to build his church, him going to the cross and shedding his precious blood. That's the purchase price, Acts 20:28. So let us never forget that. And again, we're ready to assist anyone and study further and show from the scriptures this is what we must do to become a child of God. And we thank you so much for listening today.